You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And today we are going to be looking at the Word of God. It's a great place to spend some time on a daily basis. And I pray that as some of the things that we are sharing here will, be impactful for you and help you in your walk with Jesus Christ to walk more like Jesus on a daily basis than we did the previous day. And so we want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any help with your air conditioning or if you need help with your heater, we did have a little bit of a cold front that came through, and that bodes well for us, while the rest of the country was shivering and sub-freezing temperatures. We were shivering in sub-70 temperatures, and so you might like to be a little bit more controlling of the climate in your house than you have the capability of controlling the climate on the outside. And if that is the case, we want to encourage you to call Wyrick Air, WEIRICH, 321-632-9538. Their team travels anywhere here in the county from, Barefoot Bay and Sebastian all the way up to Titusville, Scottsmore, and Mims. They can go any place and fix any type of system. And I encourage you to give them a call. They will do a great, great job. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook not too long ago, and it said for this time of year, winter in Florida, or what does the climate look like in Florida? 6 a.m. winter, 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. spring, 2 o'clock p.m. summer, and 6:30 p.m. fall. I mean, you can go the entire gamut of range of temperatures in a single day here in Florida. And so you might want to go ahead and make sure that you try out that heater and get all the dust burned off the coils, open up the windows, put on the fans, blow that stuff out of there, and make sure that everything is working the way that it is supposed to be working. And if it's not working, give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a call, 321-632-9538. So I want to let you know that we do have Bible study tonight, Leveling the Praying Field. If you have come to the realization that praying is not just something that is delegated to a few folks, it is designated to all children of the Most High God. God longs to hear from your voice. We'd love to have you come and join our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock as we become more effective in the ministry of prayer, talking to our Heavenly Father. So that is coming up. We do have services this Sunday morning. After the morning service, we are going to be having our annual Thanksgiving dinner, and that is always something that we look forward to, and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. So we're going to be wrapping up our study on Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness Against Your Neighbor. It is one of the ways that God gives to us that it is a manner of delivering us from evil. So yesterday we were in Malachi chapter 1, and I just wanted to revisit this just a moment and give you a little bit of a synopsis on it, kind of wrap it up, put a bow on it, get my Christmas gift wrapping practice in here. And that is, whenever the opportunity comes to give, at church. That is not a time to lie to God about the gift that you are making. It is a, and I know I've heard all of the theological arguments about tithing is Old Testament, tithing is part of the law. God came, or Jesus died to redeem us from the curse of the law, and so I don't have to tithe and all of that sort of stuff. I want to just wrap this up a little bit and let you know that honoring God is not part of the Old Testament. It's part of every testament. It is something that never goes out of style. We would not expect God to stop loving us and saying, whoops, you know, love was part of the old covenant, but, you know, now we're under a new covenant, and I'm not going to continue to bind myself to having to love such a rotten bunch of people under this. That's not true. You see, in the New Testament, we do hear God so loved the world. That's because he never, ever stopped. And honoring God is something that never goes out of style. It is never just relegated to a part of the past. And it is never considered irrelevant that our relationship with him is that of father and child. It is something that is never considered, I mean, worship, I mean, that is something that is very, very now. And here in Malachi chapter 1, in verse number 6, and if I am a master, if I am a Lord, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. And so my intent here with this aspect of this series is to elevate our understanding of what is taking place. It is not a mindless road activity where we're just going through the motions Sunday after Sunday. It really is worship. It is a content at our service. Whenever we conclude our praying and our singing, our worship, our praise, whenever we conclude that, we continue our worship with our giving, because that is truly what is taking place there. We are continuing our praise and our worship. So I want to take you now back a few pages in the Old Testament to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, you go from Malachi to Zechariah, and then there's the little book of Haggai, and then you come to Zephaniah chapter 3, and I want to begin looking at this today at what type of people is God looking to nurture, to cultivate, to create? What is it that he is trying to accomplish in our lives? I believe the character of believers should be markedly different than character of those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. So, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 9. This may be one of the only sermons you ever hear or teachings you ever hear out of the book of Zephaniah. I happen to really like Zephaniah because let me get to the verse. There is a verse there. Zephaniah chapter 3. Later on in the chapter, we'll just bring that up when it comes time to deal with that. About one of my favorite parts. I was going to stop a little bit before that, but one of my favorite parts is just in the verses right after that. Verse number 9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be ashamed, or not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty. In my holy mountain I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, or the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So let's look at this type of people that God is looking to create through his forgiveness of our sins. Verse number 9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Now, if I told you that God was looking for you and I to pray, we might think that it is the opportunity for us to present our petitions, and it is. But it is so much more than that. It is more than just a wah wah wah, Daddy, this is the need that I've got. Wah wah wah, God, where are you? I need this in my life. We have to look at what God has done in our lives, the action that is going to result of that, and the purpose that he has done that. So first of all, it says, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord. Jesus made it clear that there is a connection between our heart and the speech that comes out of that. And he is looking for the development of a people in which there is no deceit. I was thinking of this on the way into the radio station this morning, where Jesus called, or when Nathanael came to Jesus, Jesus said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And it just blew Nathanael away. And so Nathanael said, how do you know me? And he said, oh, before you were called, I saw you while you were sitting underneath the tree there. And it was just mind-boggling to Nathanael. A commentary that I have that deals with John chapter 1, I mean, it deals with the entire Gospel of John, said that what is actually being said about Nathanael there is, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob. Jacob was a slanderer. He was a deceiver. He was a beguiler. And when God changed Jacob's heart, he gave him a new name. He took him from that legacy to a legacy of being a prince of God. That's what Israel means, a prince of God. And Jesus spoke of Nathanael in very high terms. And he said, you don't have any deceit in your heart. That's what God is looking to develop in us. He is looking for us, looking to develop in us a heart in which there is uprightness. Now, if you turn over to John chapter 1, you will... Let me give you just a little bit of a context there about that. John chapter 1 in the New Testament, fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 1, and says there, the following day, this is verse number 43, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found," turn the page one word too soon, "we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said of him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Okay, so Jesus was fully aware of the struggle that Nathanael had. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was his question. And Jesus began to identify that he knew every detail that was going on in Nathanael's life. And that was enough for Nathanael to say, "You know what? I believe you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are exactly the one that I have been looking for all my life." And to make a long story short, Jesus said, "You're going to see greater things than these. You are going to see greater things than these." What would happen if we allowed God to purify our heart so that when our mouth spoke, it spoke words of a pure language, a heavenly language, an upright language, where we spoke the truth in love, and as a result of that, everybody around us could call on the name of the Lord. Okay, so leveling the praying field, that's what we're going through right now. And so everybody, that they all, everybody, you, me, you say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." You know how to talk. You know how. God has a tremendous ability to know what we have need of before we even ask. So a person says, why does he want us to ask then? It's a relationship. It's a relationship. So recently I was having a conversation with someone and I said, "Do you think that maybe we could just suspend the problem, the question, the solution nature of this dialogue to just sit down and have a conversation?" Have you ever thought of doing that with God? So many times we're here on kingdom business, you know, we're, you know, "God, I know you're busy. You've got 7 billion people to listen to." Well, I want you to know God's perfectly able to handle 7 billion, 17 billion, 10, or, you know, 70 billion. It doesn't matter how many people. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's, you know, omnipresent. He can handle the one-on-one conversation. You get his undivided attention while he's paying attention to every person on planet Earth. And he wants to hear from everyone. So a conductor, a trained musical ear, will not only hear the choir or the symphony or the orchestra that is playing, he has the ability to hear the distinction of the various instruments on the inside. The reason he wants us to pray is because he wants all of us to serve him with one accord, serve him in unity, serve him with one purpose. And that purpose isn't my purpose, and it's not your purpose. It's God's purpose, and that is to make his name great to all the earth. Okay? Verse number 10, the next aspect of this people that God is trying to create. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. Now, we've talked a little bit about the offering here over the past couple of days. I want to emphasize one word here, and that is, it is a capital M-Y offering. That is God saying, the offering that you bring is not your offering, it's my offering. The tithe that we bring is not our tithe, it's God's tithe. He says, it is mine, it is holy, it is sanctified, okay? And my word of wisdom and caution to people is any time that God says something is his, whether it's his people, whether it's his day, his tithe, his glory, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Anytime God says, look, this is my area of jurisdiction, it belongs to me, don't touch it. The ark was the ark of God's presence, his presence, my presence, if you will, he would say, my presence is going to dwell there. When Uzzah reached out his hand and touched what was God's, it did not end well. David got upset and all of that until finally he realized, you know, I don't think it was a God problem. I think it was a me problem. Let's go back to the Word of God and find out where we messed up so that we can once again unleash the blessings of God, not just over a family, but unleash the blessings of God over the nation. So God says, I'm going to raise up a people not only who have a pure heart, speak a pure language, all of them calling on the name of the Lord, so that they can serve me in unity, but also a people who are going to bring me what belongs to me. Okay? In verse number 11, it says, in that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds. Drop down a little bit. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty. In my holy mountain I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. These people who are operating in truth are going to realize that apart from God, we do not have anything we can boast about. Nothing. We live in such an arrogant society where everyone is saying, look at me, look at me. And God is saying, you know, you're all just sinners saved by grace. Your sin's different from my sin, different from the other person's sin. Some, you know, are concealed. You know, the Bible talks about that there's sin that is known to everybody, and then there's sin that comes along that nobody really knows about except for God, secret sin. And, you know, the thing with secret sin is it is going to be exposed at some point in time or another. You cannot afford, I cannot afford to be harboring secret sin. And so what God says is I'm going to come in and I'm going to take away the pride. I'm going to take away the haughtiness, the arrogance, and in its place, I am going to have a meek people, a humble people, and a people that will trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in their mental capabilities. Some trust in their physical capabilities. Some trust in their family's name. Some trust in their bank account. Some trust in their job. Some trust in their fame and their celebrity. Some trust in their power and their position. And all of those trusts are greatly misplaced. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. That's describing military might. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. A meek people. Okay, let me just remind you that meekness is not weakness. It is very much strength under control. Moses was considered the meekest man on the planet, and yet he had the most unique relationship with God of anybody at that point in time. God said, I speak with him like a man speaks with another man face to face. And whenever people rose up in opposition against Moses, what he would do is he would hit his knees and he would pray. And when he prayed, God heard his prayers. That's the type of people. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, here's the thing with humility and humiliation. And it just helps me. You know, there may be some people who disagree with this. Maybe they've got a more sophisticated answer to it. But this works for me. And that is this. Humility is when I look at myself and I compare myself with God and I realize what a huge chasm there is between the person God wants me to be and who he really is. And that humbles me, and so I humble myself. Humiliation comes when people fail to see the greatness of God and they get full of themselves, fix their eyes upon themselves, and say, truly I am God's gift for this day and this time to the world. The world is so much better because of me. And God says, you should see what you are like if I don't work in you. God had the ability to humble and humiliate Nebuchadnezzar, and there's not anybody here, not anybody on the planet. If he could do that for the most political person of that day, he can still do it now. I highly encourage humility rather than humiliation. And in that meekness and in that humility, trust in God. He's the God who's more than enough. We'll continue tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program.
Thank you
for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Here.